Good morning.
How have you enjoyed the service so far? I'd like to thank everyone that has participated already this morning. And I'll throw a pearl of wisdom out there off of Sister Gloria's prayer. Something in particular she said, why are families not together? And she said, if it's forgiveness, let it be forgiveness. And I'm going to try really hard to keep this as a one sentence thing. You know, I'm not good at that because that's a whole other sermon. But when there's a grudge between you and another person in your family, or anyone for that matter, kind of doesn't matter really if it's their fault. Because if you really are a child of Christ, what does it matter? Think about what he endured for us, and you can handle a little bit of hate. You can handle a little bit of shade thrown at you, can't you? So you be the one to stand in the name of Christ and forgive, even though you are the one wronged. So we thank Gloria for that prayer this morning. Thank you for that song, young lady. Strong voice. We always enjoy that. Brother Dan, you were brave. Did not know people come in to the church new and get up front and sing. I've been here like 40 years, not catching me to do that. But thank you so much for that message and song. All right. Y'all want to preach? We're going to do this now. Join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, this morning, you have a message for me. You have a message for your people, for each person sitting in a pew here right now, for each person watching on the live stream. We need this message, Lord, whether we realize it or not. So at this time, I pray that you will cleanse my heart, remove me from within this equation, and let your voice be heard. This I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we thank Dylan for reading for us. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I read a story, a short story, about something that happened at a small church. It's most likely not true, but nonetheless, I read it. And everybody got together for church that day, and they were sitting in the pews, much like you guys, talking about what happened in the week, talking about families, etc. And all of a sudden, the devil appeared right up front in church. He's bold. What do you think everybody did? They ran. They bolted for the door, running over everybody. Except for one lone brother sitting right there, not you, Sydney. I'm pointing at the pew in front because I'll get in trouble for what I'm about to say. Except for one lone old man sitting there, and the devil is like, do you not know who I am? And the man says, oh, yeah, I know who you are. Are you not afraid of me? Nah, I'm not afraid of you. And he walks up to the man and says, I'm confused. Why are you not afraid of me? And he says, I've been married to your sister for 48 years. All right. That's bad humor. Let's just put that aside. Let's put that aside. All right. Let's start over. Can we start over? All right. How are you guys doing today? Are you feeling like you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you have joy in your life today? Amen. Are you feeling good? Has God blessed you this week? Yes, he has. Do you have trials in your life? Then say praise the Lord. I always say if you got no trials, the devil isn't interested in you. He already got you where he wants you. Do you have a job to go to next week? That's not joyful, let me tell you. I've been doing that for over 30 years. Stay in school as long as you can. But God blessed us with a job. We can pay the bills. We can put gas in the car. We can put groceries on the table. We are happy. Life is good. Praise the Lord. God is good to us. There is a popular phrase in Christian communities. God is good. And all the time? Yeah. But oftentimes, we find ourselves in a proverbial funk. We're unhappy sometimes, and we don't even know why. It's just a feeling we get. Quite often, we sit next to a church member who is experiencing something in their life. Oftentimes, you're sitting right next to somebody that's experiencing something in their life that's causing them grief, causing them pain, and you don't even know it. Right, Caden? You don't even know the trials she faces. She has to get up and go to college and study and stuff. Life is hard. You don't know what people are dealing with, right? But they are. Let's do a quick experiment. Take a look at the person to your right. Just take a look. Look. Okay. All right, let it go. Take a look at the person to your left. Now look straight ahead. Did you see the pain? Nobody's got pain today. Nobody's got troubles today. Nobody has trials today. Nobody is wrestling with anything today because you looked and you didn't see it, right? Come on now. Just because you did not see it does not mean it is not there. Does not mean it does not exist. Just because the guy to the left or the girl to the right is a Christian does not mean they are immune from trials and tribulations and the temptations of the devil. But you can't see it. Church is not a magic bullet. You walk through those doors and you have the discipline to leave everything outside and come in with an empty heart, wanting to be filled, wanting to be fed. Church is not a magic bullet. Just because you're here doesn't mean all of a sudden it's happy, happy, joy, joy. You brought it with you. That pain is still here. That trial is still here. It is still weighing heavy right here. You're hearing what I'm saying. You're halfway listening. Half of you are thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be 45 minutes before he stops. But you're still carrying that burden. Not everyone here with a trial is going to turn to you and say, help me. Not everyone here that is in mental anguish or dealing with a psychological problem is going to turn to you willingly and say, I got trouble. Can you pray with me? Am I right? Nonetheless, we know from our own experience, it is real. It happens every single day. Isn't that right, Dre? Every day, troubles are coming. Every day. Let me stop right there. But every day, there's a problem that we got to deal with. Show of hands, who has a family member right now that's way deep down in the dumps? They're just super sad today. They're very unhappy today. They have a real problem. They have a real problem. And they don't know how to rise above it. They don't. Right? That doesn't mean it's not there, and that doesn't mean they don't want help. Sometimes folks just don't know how to ask. Maybe it's health. As we get older, everything in the world, it's been 10 minutes already. Okay, turn the lights back up. All right. Maybe it's our health. You know, as we get older, everything seems to happen. You know? I ate so much pizza and so many Milky Ways and Three Musketeers when I was younger. I know diabetes is looking for me. I know it. You know? Just hadn't caught me yet, but it's looking for me. As we get older, it catches up. Young people, talk about some trials. I was playing, saying all you got to deal with is get up and go to college. Being young is way more challenging than it was when I was young. You know, when I was young, I carried a couple of quarters in my pocket, so if I had to call because the sun set and I hadn't made it home yet, I can call my parents and say, hey, I'm alive. Then I have cell phones. I couldn't text mom and say, hey, chill out, I'm coming, right? Couldn't do that. We had two channels on TV. Now I waste more time trying to figure out what to watch than actually watching something. You know? Young people are faced with too much all at once. And that's the problem. They don't know how to turn it off. Matthew 26:41 tells us to watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then Galatians 5:16 and 17 turns around and tells us, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are what? Against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are what? Against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now let's shift gears for a minute. If you're not the one who is in despair, experiencing doubt and sadness, but you know someone who is, someone in your family, someone in this church, someone at school, someone at work, I ask you, are you your brother's keeper? Oh, you're not sure at all. Goodness. You're not sure if you are your brother's keeper. I'm a little bit troubled by this. Caden, I'm that guy that they like to throw the rotten tomatoes at. Because I say things like that, and I don't sugarcoat it too much. Are you your brother's keeper? Amen. Yes, you are. It is your responsibility. The good book tells us. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Simon Jonas, do you love me? And Peter says three times, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says what? Then feed my sheep. What does that mean? It means you are your brother's keeper. It means Jesus has placed a responsibility upon you to take care of each other. Not just take care of yourself. Not just take care of your immediate family. It is easy to take care of your brother or your sister, but a complete stranger? Yet this is what Jesus has charged us with. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Any cyborgs in here? Any robots in here? No? We're all human. What does that mean? We are prone to failure. Agreed? We are prone to sickness. We are prone to sadness. And we are prone to death. Scripture tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what? Well, it goes on to tell us the wages of sin is death. That's what is in store for us if we don't have Jesus Christ present in our lives. If you don't experience some suffering yourself, how can you really empathize with someone? If life is all roses and sunshine for you, can you really be supportive to someone who is suffering? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again, verse 17 and 18. And it says in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Your affliction, your pain, your discomfort, your suffering is working for you glory. How is that? How is that? Think about this for a second. How many of you guys were born? Yes, you were born, all of you guys, yes. Mom suffered for 9 months. She can tell you she smiled. She's lying. I'm sorry. I'll tell you the hard truth. I understand it's miserable going through pregnancy. They have nausea. They crave pickles and ice cream. It's a miserable journey, it seems. And then at the time of birth, it's extremely painful. I never complain about a headache when I'm standing by a woman. It's falling on deaf ears. But then you're born, and it is beautiful. It is wonderful. Mom is so happy. Dad is thrilled, although he did nothing, right? All of this travail works something wonderful. All of your affliction, all of your trials, all of your tribulation, it doesn't seem like it, but it's working glory in the end. If you don't experience what Jesus experienced, how can you appreciate heaven? Since he gave me the light flash, I'm going to skip a section here. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So can we agree that the battle is actually in the mind? Okay, that's all right. I'll ask it again, because I need an answer. Can we agree that this warfare, this spiritual warfare, is right here? If you're not sure, don't say yes. I believe it is. When I used to fight, I can take a punch. I've been hit hard a lot of times. I remember having my cheekbone fractured and the eye socket cracked. There's still a chip of bone missing there. The battle is in the mind. Knowing that I lost as I sat in the ER is what troubled me more than the swollen up face. You know? So if the battle is in the mind, how do we see it? When my brother is struggling with something happening at work and having to take care of a family and it's weighing heavy on him, and you're not, I'm just making this up. It's weighing heavy on him. He comes home and he puts up a strong front. Wife, it's good. Kids, love you guys. But work is hard and you can't see it. And it wears you down. It makes him tired. Sometimes it puts some doubts in his mind. Who does he talk to? It's hard for him to talk to mom. Maybe not. Maybe that's just me, right? But a man tends to want to resolve things on his own. It's a terrible habit that we have. And so all he seems to have is Jesus. And he goes to Jesus and he falls on his knees in prayer. And Jesus can resolve everything. But Jesus chooses oftentimes to send one of us to support him. Doesn't mean Jesus didn't take care of him. Jesus sent one of us to help him up, to encourage him, to support him, to tell him it's going to be okay, to empathize with him. I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. I'm right here with you. Come on. Yeah. And in so doing, Jesus creates a blessing for you as well. But the battle is in the mind. That's where it's fought. If the battle is in the mind, if the fight is up here, if Satan is coming at us with a psychological warfare, if Satan is coming at us with emotional baggage and trying to pull us down because of the things that we can't seem to handle, how do we support our brethren? We bring Jesus Christ to the fight. We bring Jesus Christ to the table. If you try to go at the devil on your own, you will lose. He is stronger than you. He is smarter than you. He's had thousands of years to figure this out, and you haven't. The only way you win against the devil is when you bring Jesus Christ to the fight. When you say, "Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ." That's the only way you win this thing. A lot of times we think, all right, well, who's the downtrodden? In our society, who's the downtrodden, guys? You're driving down the road, you're looking out the window, you're, I don't know, listening to some good music, life is good, you got air conditioning, the windows are rolled up, and you look out the window, and who do you see? You look at these homeless people and like, man, it's 115 degrees out there. Whew, that's downtrodden right there. Isn't that downtrodden? I'm going to tell you something. The country singer-songwriter Craig Morgan said, he saw the old dude. It's snowing. He's sleeping behind the garbage cans. He's covered in newspapers. And he says, this guy might be dead. He goes and shakes him. And the guy said, what are you doing? He says, I'm just trying to make sure you're okay. And he said, I was climbing out of a cottonwood tree. I was trying to run from some honeybees. I was drip drying in the summer heat because I just jumped in the Calico Creek. He's got no worries in the world. So who is the downtrodden? Me and you. Me and you are the downtrodden. Because we have up days and we have down days. And that's okay. Jesus had up days and Jesus had down days. Jesus had days where he just preached all day long from the banks of the river. And he fed 5,000 people. And he was a hero. And there were days where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he sweat like drops of blood. Amen? So, like our Lord, we have up days and down days. We're not superhuman. So, you think because you're here in church and you pay your tithes and you don't cuss too much and, you know, you kind of walk the straight and narrow that you're doing good, right? These are the same folks that are shackled by debt and it's wearing them down. These are the same folks that come home to an unfaithful spouse and they know it. And inside, they are just torn apart. These are the same folks who go to school and are bullied because they look different or they talk different or they don't have the fancy clothes. Or they don't have the iPhone 14 Plus. They got an iPhone 7. What a chump. He's got an iPhone 7. And they're bullied. And online, they're bullied all the time.
That's our kids. Did you know that? That's our kids. But we're so busy with work. Man, we're so busy getting that paycheck. Or we're so busy with the church ministry. We're not even seeing our son, our daughter being bullied in this way. Look, it's not malicious. We're just oblivious to it. But they are the downtrodden. They are the ones that are hurting, and it's our responsibility to notice it. If Jesus in a crowd where everybody is pushing against him can say, "Who touched my garment?" Right? Can you not see that he pays attention, that he is aware, that he sees every angle of everything? And can you not see then, I don't have an excuse if I wasn't there for my kids when they were being bullied or whatever the deal might be? What's my excuse if Jesus can say, "Who touched my garment?" in a crowd? The downtrodden could be some of our older members. When you get older and things start to break, right? When you get older and you look in the mirror, you start to worry a little bit. We start to worry a little bit. But then when you get older than older, right? It's hard when we face our own mortality. It's hard. We always say, I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm right with Jesus. But look, human instinct is to survive. You hear what I'm saying? Biblical or not, human instinct is to survive. Nobody wants to die. There are those who, sadly, do commit suicide, think they want to die. But truthfully, nobody wants to die. And as we look at our older members and they become feeble and they're burdened with health problems, it weighs on their minds. And it is such a challenge for them, and we can't really wrap our minds around that because we're not there yet, you know? We can't wrap our minds around how frail we will become and that one day we will close our eyes. But in the meantime, as we're getting close to that, there's a battle waging in our minds, and the devil is telling us we're old and we're weak and nobody wants us anymore. And he's trying to blur that vision that Christ has given to our members, our patriarchs and matriarchs, that I have prepared a home for you. He's trying to blur that knowledge in the Bible that says when you close your eyes, the next thing you see will be my face, and it will be like a blink of an eye. So until the time comes, are you your brother's keeper? It is your responsibility to seek out those who are hurting. It is your responsibility to find those who are afraid. It is your responsibility and mine to give them the courage, the strength, and the hope of Jesus Christ. And boy, our people deal with problems, addictions, you know. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, it doesn't leave anybody alone. We see so many people dying from the new drug fentanyl. It seems almost hopeless, and it is just pouring into the country, uncontrollable. We see those who are addicted to gambling. They lose the entire paycheck and then struggle, but they can't stop. We see those who are addicted to drinking. Why? Don't understand why. And they say, I can stop anytime I want, but they can't.
We see those who are addicted to pornography. Why? And they can't stop. Addictions are all around us, and it does not respect age. And though that sounds like it's outside of the biblical sphere, it isn't. Because the devil has had time to understand every weakness that you have. The devil has had time to investigate everything that you like and everything that you dislike and personally cater to your desires. Right? I respect that. But I say, thank God we have a friend. Who's got a friend around here? What a bunch of lonely people. Goodness. Who's got a friend around here? You guys got lots of friends. We got lots of friends. But we got one friend in particular that we need to focus on. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our pain and grief to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything, everything to God in prayer. The fight. It's always the fight. Tell me about your light affliction. What are your trials? What's holding you down? What is holding you back? What is stopping you from giving Jesus Christ to this world? What is stopping you from absorbing Jesus Christ into your own life? What is more important, that Jesus has taken a back seat? What are your trials? What are your afflictions today? What is it that's shaking your faith to its very core and placing doubt in your heart? What is it that has you convinced that if it wasn't for bad luck, you wouldn't have no luck at all? What's going on in your life? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For those of you that are hooked on your cell phones and don't remember flipping pages, that's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So Paul talks about the light afflictions, huh? Go to verse 23. And we read 23 to 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 39 for those that are mathematically challenged. 5 times he was beaten. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, just out in the water, for a night and a day. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I challenge you to think your light afflictions don't compare to Paul's. Nonetheless, Paul calls them light afflictions because he knew they didn't compare to the afflictions of Jesus Christ. I read a story happened about a month ago. It was in Australia. And I want to share this quickly with you in light of the troubles that you deal with on a daily basis. This young woman, she's 28. Her husband, he's 34. When they married, she brought two children. And since then, they had twins and then a little boy. They've got five sons. They wake up one morning, there's a house fire. It's about a month ago on Russell Island, I believe, in Australia. The kids are sleeping upstairs. They're downstairs. She was upstairs with the kids. They come running out. She realizes the kids are still in the house. She turns the bolts in there, and he stops her. Too much flame. You stay here. I'll get them. He runs back into the house, runs upstairs to get these kids. The house is engulfed in flames. The second floor collapses. Nobody makes it out. The firefighters afterwards find the charred remains of the father holding five boys. What of your light afflictions? What of the troubles that you face on a daily basis? Which boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't like you anymore? Who doesn't want to talk to you anymore? Why can't I have this new gadget? Why can't I have that? Why is my boss so mean to me? All these things that we wrestle with, these are our afflictions. And then you hear an account like that and you realize, are these even afflictions at all? This is the reality of the sin in this world. So I don't mean to make light of anyone's suffering. I don't mean to make light of the pain. I know each and every one of you, you carry burdens and you face trials. But the Lord tells us in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You hear what I say? God tells us, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And then furthermore in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Who will be with you? Your God will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. The truth of the matter is this. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things, brothers? If God is for us, who can be against us? This world can, right? Satan is against us. His minions are against us. Those who follow his way are against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will give you freely all things. He's already given you his son, Jesus Christ. What else would he withhold from you? Go to him in prayer. Take the burden to him. Take the addiction to him. Take the challenge to him. He is waiting on you. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Are you God's elect? Somebody better say amen. It is God who justifies, not man. Who is he who condemns? He's nobody. He trembles at the name Jesus Christ. He is nobody. It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for you with each and every burden that you bring to him. He is making intercession for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? How about distress? Shall persecution? Maybe famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37, yet, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. We are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded, Paul says, I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, when we face our last days, neither death nor life, when we are in the midst of a bad accident, neither death nor life, whatever comes at us, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things still to come at us, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. This is in the Word of God. Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in His Son, Jesus Christ. God has a plan for those that are afflicted today. They're not alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. God has a plan. He has a plan for those who are in pain and hurting. Revelation 21, 3 to 5 says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he, God, will dwell with you. And you will be his people. God himself, it says, will be with them and be their God. God himself is with you and he is your God. And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things, the afflictions, the former things, the trials, the former things, the death, the former things, everything that harms you and hurts you and makes you cry, the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So in closing, let us pray today the prayer in Psalms chapter 121. And we'll read this together as our chorister and pianist come up. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Where's your help come from? My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keeps thee will not slumber. Jesus never sleeps. He's always watching you. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve thee from all evil. Jesus Christ will preserve you from all evil that comes at you. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.